grace in his sight because he's Boaz. He's a wealthy man and he's a good man. Amen. Verse 3, and she went and came into the and gleaned the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Look at where he came from. He came from a place of bread, a house of bread. He came, the reason why he was so gracious, and you'll find in the stories, because he had been eating the bread. You find people that eat the word of God. That's why some people can't be nice. And they are always full of salt and bitterness. It's because they haven't eaten the word. Because if you have a taste of the Lord, you'll find that he's gracious. And when you find that he's gracious, if you eat enough word and the word becomes alive in you, then you become gracious. You want, oh, come on and say amen. You won't always be bitter. You won't always be mad and angry with everybody, amen? But you'll find yourself lightening up, and you'll find yourself giving grace to the hearer and speaking grace to the hearer. I wish I had somebody. You'll find yourself with joy and not even knowing how to explain the joy that you have. And so she went to reap or to glean from his field behind the reapers. In other words, she was back there, just whatever they would leave behind that they didn't think was good, she would pick those parts up, and she'd try to make something of it. Amen? And then, behold, Boaz, verse 4, came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. Look at that. He came from the house of bread, started talking about the Lord be with you. Amen? And the servants answered him and said, the Lord bless thee. And then Boaz said unto the servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Who woman that is? And the servant that was over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you let me glean and go after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and had continued even from the morning until now. She tarried a little in the house. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, here's thou, my daughter. Go not out and glean another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. He said, look, now she already spoke it. That's where we mess up at. We, Lord, I don't know, well, maybe so. No, she said, I shall find grace. Boaz shows up, and something about her catches his attention. Now, you know, the devil know who you are, and people will know who you are, and you may not even know who they are. But something about you will catch their attention because of the God that's in you. Amen? And all of a sudden, now he wants to be nice to her because she already spoke a word before she left because she had a talk with the Holy Ghost, with Naomi. But that's what we got to get to. We got to learn how to pray and talk and communicate. But if you, that's what the devil wants. He wants us to shut up. When we are hurt and our heart is aching, he wants us to stay in Moab. He does not want us in Judah where we can praise. He does not want us in the house of bread where we can get stronger. He does not want us to communicate with the Holy Spirit where we can get guidance. But she did all of these things, and look at what she ended up. She ended up in the field. Now, she could have went to another field and another field, but Boaz said, wait a minute. I don't want you going to nobody else's field. I want you to stay in mine. Not knowing that this is a setup, but he said, I want you to stay in mine. Now, who, all she was doing was picking up the scraps. Now, why would that be important to a wealthy man like Boaz? The only reason why is because God had some plan here. And what we got to see is that in spite of what we go through, God is still sovereign. And he always, God is not like us. We don't plan for nothing. We wing it if we can. But God has a plan for it. He's already, the Bible says this, that he declared the end at the beginning. He already said it. All she did was repeat what God had already said, even though she didn't know it at the moment. And so if God has already said it, and if God in his mind has already done, how come we doubt? If God has already said it, and he's already done it in his mind, it's already done. That's why faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I got evidence, but you can't see it. But I know it's real. It's real to me. Amen. I know that God said it. I know that God has done it already. Do you know that before there was light, God already said that there was going to be light? Amen. Before there was man, he already had man planned out in his mind. God already had this stuff in place. He already knew who was going to be what. He's sovereign. I often like to say, how things happen. God knew what Moses would be when he put that bush burning. He knew what to do with Joseph. We can't get mad with Joseph's brothers that put him in the pit, but that was a reason. God let them feel the way they felt about him to put him in the pit. But, you know, all the way back to, I often talk about how Abraham made a mistake with Ishmael. There wasn't no mistake. That was God's plan. Because if it had been for the, who was it that pulled Joseph out of the pit and took him to Egypt? It was the Ishmaelites. If there wasn't Ishmaelites, the great-grandsons of Ishmael that showed up and pulled Joseph out of the pit and took him, then they wouldn't have been preserved during the famine. And he wouldn't have never became second in charge in Egypt. He says, now, let's look at verse 9. He said, don't leave my field in verse 8. Verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch you? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. He says, your eyes be on the field. In other words, whatever you see, whatever you desire in the field, go ahead over there. He said, your eyes, God will give you the desires of your heart. Now, what we got to understand is this. The Holy Spirit is who? Spirit Naomi. Ruth is us. So who's Boaz? Jesus. Because he said, I've instructed them not to touch you. He said, touch not my, or not do my prophet no harm. Jesus is our what? Protection. He's the fence all around us. Boaz is a wealthy man. Jesus, all the cattle on the hill, all the silver, all the gold belongs to him. And so he's the protector. And look at what he says. He says that I'm going to make sure that they don't touch you. Amen. Then he tells them, he says, you can go after them, make sure they don't touch you. He said, if you get thirsty, go drink from what they've drawn. You don't have to draw it yourself. But I got water that you don't have to draw. He will water you. He'll put water in your dry places. He said, if you drink from me, you'll never thirst again. Remember the woman at the well? She met Jesus. She met her Boaz. Oh, my God. And Jesus said, give me something to drink. She said, well, if I wasn't here with this, how are you going to get something to drink? Jesus said, if you would ask me to drink, I'd give you water that you never thirst again. Amen? And so when we look at this, this woman was being protected. She met her Boaz. She met, it's a picture of us meeting Christ. Look at this. He says, now, we got to understand that the Spirit, the Bible said that we can't even come to God unless the Spirit do what? Draw us. The Spirit has to lead us to the place where we need to be in order to meet Jesus. Naomi drawed her to the place where she needed to be. And so happened they were in Bethlehem in Judea. He says in verse 10, and then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, oh, so thankful are we this day for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful and tender kindnesses, tender mercies, and ever loving ways, unending, unfailing. And so, God, we say thank you for that kind of love. And Lord, we pray right now that you would look upon every believer who now stands to hear your word. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost would look inside us and reach the spirit man to speak to our hearts, that we might not just hear words, but hear you. And as you speak to our hearts, our minds, our spirit, that we would yield ourselves wholly and totally to you for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise? What a beautiful song leading into this word today. And as we are preparing to move to another level in our ministry, we are just so grateful and excited to God for the things that he has done, he is doing, and he's getting ready to do. I want to, as I am led, call your attention to a very familiar passage of scripture found in Romans chapter 12. And I want us to look at verse 1 as we shall begin this reading. Romans chapter 12, and we'll commence reading at verse 1. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, my brothers and sisters, as Paul really gives us this word today, it deals with sacrificial, holy living as he is calling on the church at Rome and the believers everywhere to adhere to. There are some interesting things that Paul talks about in this living sacrificially unto God or for God. One of the things, as we start off this word and look at what Paul opens up by saying in the first two words, I beseech. And one of the things that I want you to realize is when Paul starts this word off, he is not saying, I command you. Because what he's talking about doesn't come from a spirit of commanding or a spirit of controlling, but rather this is given to a spirit of love and appreciation and of gratitude. And so he's literally saying, brethren, I plead with you. Brethren, I call you to. He's making clear that this should be the desire of every believer's heart. Now, one of the things that you're going to see is that he's talking again to the believers. He's talking again to people who are born again. He's talking to people who are saved, and they know it and are glad. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And brethren, again, is exclusive to the community of Christ, to the believers, to the born again people of God. He says, by the mercies, plural, of God.
All right.
Listen, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, there are several words in there that I want to take our time and walk through because they paint a picture for us to understand as Paul is speaking about this reality based on our thanksgiving about and our gratitude of the things that the Lord has done for us past tense. Not even what he's doing right now, not even what he's getting ready to do, but just based on what he's already done. Now, how many of you in here today would say, if the Lord doesn't do another thing for me, he's done enough for me to worship and praise him and serve him for the rest of my life? Okay, so based on what he's already done, his past history, his record already being intact, he says the mercies of God. Now, this gives picture and vent to the fact that God has not just extended mercy to you one time, but God's mercies flow across your whole life in every area, in every arena, in every avenue, in your ambition, your activities, all of those things that you have experienced in this life. It's God's mercies that has brought you from point A all the way to where you are right now. His mercies. I mean, can you think about some things and some times in your life, if God weren't merciful to you, you might not be sitting here right now? I'm not talking about what other folk did to you. I'm talking about what you did yourself. I'm talking about decisions you've made, stuff you've gotten yourself in. Had God's mercy not been prevalent and available, you would not be here, certainly not in the condition that you're in. Now listen at this, because he says the mercies of God that ye present. Another way to look at this word present is present. God has given us life, and so because he's given us life twice, that means first time we were born, we came into this world, and we were accepted in this world, etc., with the life that God gave in the natural body. But then when we accepted Christ, we were given a new life. We were born again, so we have a spiritual life. And so now when you realize this, it's important for you to realize, because we are grateful, because the first life, we were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. And so the reality is and was that we came here messed up. And the Lord could have stopped right there. But he chose to go further than where we were and what we are or were in those times, and offer to us a thing that we could not get for ourselves called salvation. Right. He brought us into a place of choosing so that we could determine whether we would stay in the way that we came here or walk in the new way that he provided for us. Right. So he himself provided for us an opportunity to have a new life. In this new life, here is the picture, that we don't deserve, that we could not earn, that we could not make or prepare for ourselves. We should live this life as a present daily back to God.
Right.
Now, this is the picture. It's like, number one, my life is no longer mine because he bought it with the price of the blood of his son.
So because he's bought my life with the price of the blood of his son, I could have been dead and should have been dead by all rights and accounts of my own doings and decisions, et cetera, et cetera. But because I accepted Christ, he paid for my penalties and my sin and my past, gave me a brand new start and gave me a right place with God. Now, recognizing that he has done those things for me and I couldn't do it myself, the least I could do is live every day with my life as a present to him. Now listen to what this word says. It says that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now listen to this. Most sacrifices in the Old Testament times were not living sacrifices. They were dead sacrifices. But they were the sacrifices also not of men but of animals. And it was a sacrifice they were willing to make. Y'all will catch that on your way going home. Because it didn't cost them not a thing. But it cost the animal what? Their life, everything. Now that was not a fair sacrifice, because here's what you've got to realize. If you're going to sacrifice something, it ought to cost you something. You know, when you go in your closet and give away stuff you can't wear anyhow. Or it needs to be repaired and mended and all the rest of that and all that. That ain't no sacrifice to you. You glad you got somebody to get rid of that mess with, because you ain't want to throw it away. But a sacrifice is something you want, you enjoy, you engage in, that's going to affect you one way or the other if you do or do not do it. So a sacrifice must cost you something. Say that, a sacrifice must cost me something. Listen at this. If it does not cost you anything, it is not a sacrifice. It may be an inconvenience, but it ain't a sacrifice. And so here he's saying, because he wants you to get this mindset clearly in your thinking, present your bodies a living sacrifice. This takes on now a daily experience of living unto the Lord, being conscious of my decisions, conscious of my actions, conscious of my attitude, conscious of my activities, conscious of my ambitions. I mean, all of these things are taken in account, because I realize now I'm not living for me, but I'm living for him. Now that's a sacrifice. Because when I really begin to get into it and recognize it, I mean, it's everything from what I put in my body to what I put on my body. What I do with my body. Because I begin to realize truly I'm just the manager, the steward of this body. This really isn't my body. It's mine by stewardship. It's his by ownership. And so what I recognize is that there are some things, again, that he's expecting from me sacrificially that I would not do in and of my flesh. Now listen at this word, because I want us to see this again. And he says that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now the first thing that he counts out in living a sacrificial life is what? Holy. Holy. Now that done hurt a many of us right there. Lord, you mean to tell me I'm saved and you want me to live holy every day? I can do it a little bit on Sundays, but you mean Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? I mean, y'all looking at me strange, but you know I'm telling the truth here. But now you must see holiness as God sees holiness, because the holiness that God himself sees is that that is measured out according to his word, according to his will, according to his way. Now, in and of ourselves, we could never in totality reach a perfection of holiness, but we have been spiritually positioned to be holy because he is holy. And holy is not some concept that many of us have gathered up and conjured up in our minds to be something that we cannot attain, something that we cannot achieve. It is simply having and walking in the mind and the will or the word of God. It is doing it the way God wants you to do it. Holiness in God's mindset, and as in many other folk mindset, are two different, totally different things. And so you got to realize he would not ask you to do what you could not do. Amen. So obviously what we consider holy in many regards, differs very much so from what God considers holy. And so while it does hold us to the highest standard, it also involves and it also is required to be or need or have God's power or His Spirit to help us to do what we cannot do in and of ourselves. And so you could never live holy outside of the Holy Ghost. Y'all will catch that on your way home. You need the Holy Spirit in order to be able to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the lust of the flesh, you will not fulfill the desires of the Spirit. It's so clear. And so you recognize you, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, operating in the Spirit of God, you are in a state of holy operation. Now that's something you can't sit down and think it out and plan it out and operate in it without the power of the Holy Ghost. Right. Yep. And so many of us try to live without the power and the person and the presence of the Holy Ghost and think that we live holy. We then become self-righteous is what we become.
All right.
And that was a nation that God preferred over all other people who became self-righteous and holier than thou in the way that they perceived holiness. So holiness is simply understanding the Word of God as He has given us a standard by which we're to live, and then having His Spirit to help and empower us and to inform us on how and what it is He wants us to do. Now, this is important, because stay with me here. He says, again, holy, but then He says, what after holy? Acceptable unto who?
God.
Unto God. Now, this is important again. You see, because all this is really doing is getting you to focus in on what God has purposed your life to be. Your life, your goals in life, your ministry in life, your call in life may not be acceptable unto man. You know, there are some parents who have already, you know, I mean, there's their children are growing up already plotting, planning what they want their children to be. I want them to be this. I want them to be that. I want them to have this. I want them to have that. And that's all wonderful, but what if that's not God's plan for their life? What if that's not God's design or desire for their lives? And so as a result of that, there is a conflict, because we many times seek to please those who are closest among us and those who have sacrificed much for us, but not very rarely do we go beyond those, mostly in our concentric circle of contact, to go and say, God, what is it that is acceptable to you? What is it that you want with my life? Why did you purpose me here? Why did you put me here at this period? Lord, when you reveal those things to me according to your word, I want to walk in them so that I will be acceptable unto you. Now, I got to tell you, when you're acceptable and your ways and your thoughts and your actions are acceptable unto God, I can promise you they're not going to be that way to man for the most part. All right. Unless man is tuned in to God's purpose for your life. And then what you're going to realize is, as you begin to walk in that will, God's going to put people in your path who's going to further promote His purpose for your life. And the devil is going to put people in there to deter you and redirect you from that path. And when you begin to know the will of God for your life and understand the perfect will of God for your life, you're going to have to make choices that will either keep you on the path or choices that will pull you further away from the path God has designed for you to go. And my brothers and sisters, you'll be surprised how powerful this truth is. Because one of the things that the devil does, and you know he doesn't fight fair, if you've ever had a fight with him, some of y'all are good friends with him, so y'all don't have fights with him. But if you've ever had a fight with him, you know he will hit you when you are unexpected. I mean, when you're not unsuspecting, he will hit you, and then he'll hit you with somebody you never expected him to hit you with. I mean, he'll do things because that is his desire, to catch you off guard and to catch you in a place where his, whatever his attack is, gets you to the point where it detours you off of the path of God, the plan of God, out of the place of God, so that he can catch you defenseless and then destroy you. See, because what he knows is that your part is only one part of an intricate web of what God has designed in this earth realm to get his will accomplished in the earth realm. And you are a part of that great plan. Now, whether it's about you affecting one life or a million lives or a billion lives, it is important as God has designed your life to be. And so when you begin to recognize this, wait a minute, my life is designed to be a sacrifice to God. That means when God wants me to say something, I'm not always in a place I want to be, but whatever place I find myself in, I should be surrendered to God. God, what do you want me to say here? Especially if it's a place you can't see it making no sense you being. Right. Like, why am I doing here? I'm not supposed to be here. Well, if I'm not, maybe God has allowed me to be here to touch a certain person's life or do